All right, we're going to start up here right away again. I hate to break up a good conversation, but we need to get going. We can continue again after for a little bit. I forgot to mention, some of you don't know me. My name's Kevin Bender. I'm not the pastor here. I'm filling in. Our pastor's on holidays for 3 weeks, so he asked a few of us to kind of look after the duties here, so that's what I'm doing. For announcements, look at your email if they're in there. One thing I will mention is this weekend is Kristen's mother's funeral at Terwilliger next weekend. Yeah, well, it's like this Saturday, isn't it? Yeah, this coming Saturday up in Edmonton. And I think it said there's going to be a live feed, like you can watch it online. But please keep praying for their family. That's about it. And the rest, just look in the email for other announcements or things in there. We're going to have our scripture memorization verse, which will be up here. I don't have it with me, so I'll look up there and read it. But let's read that together from Joshua 1, verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua 1, 8. So I encourage you to memorize that this week. We may go over that again later, but this time I'm going to invite our guest speaker up, who really doesn't need any introduction, Jeff Gowdy, who is has been here a number of times. And those of you who don't know Jeff, he and his wife Jenny are actually missionaries here in Red Deer with the Faith Mission. And it's always a joy to have him here to come and share with us what God has given him. So I'm just going to pray for you, Jeff, right now, and then we'll let you share with us what God's given you. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that Jeff is here with us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through him the words that you want us to hear. May we have ears to hear and hearts open to whatever it is you want us to receive today. Guide him, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. I just love coming here. This is and that singing. Oh man, I was so blessed already. And that final song, that holy, holy, you can't get through that one. That was beautiful. So thank you so much. I've already been so blessed this morning, and I get the privilege of looking through a passage that I just love so much. The last several months, I can't get out of these verses, and I actually shared this this same passage a couple weeks ago at my church, but I just wanted to share it with you this morning. It's such a great passage of the Bible. And before I start too, I just wanted to say, Jenny and I just want to say thank you so much for the support, the love, the prayers. I said, I can't believe how many amazing friends I have in one church. And so it's praying with so many guys here. It's just, we're just so thankful for every one of you. But I would like to look at John chapter 7. It's one of those invitations that Jesus gives. It's an invitation to the entire world. And here in John chapter 7, verse 37, 38, and 39, is what we're going to be looking at. And it says, Jesus, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And so Jesus starts out here, and he gives us an invitation. You know all those great invitations of the Bible? There's another one There's a few that meant, but there's another one that meant so much to me, even before I got saved. "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That is an invitation for the entire world. But this one too. "If any person thirsts, then come to me." Of course, he's not talking about physical thirst here. He's talking later on, he says, in your innermost being. If you're thirsting in your soul, come to me. And I truly believe the entire world is thirsting. There's not a doubt about that. The entire world is thirsting, but the problem is that they're trying to satisfy their thirst, their spiritual thirst, their thirst in their soul with physical things. And that's very frustrating because you can't do it. You cannot satisfy your soul with physical things, like money. Many people think, if I just could get enough. That's why the poor are often not as empty sometimes as the very wealthy, because the very wealthy have gotten there and realized, this doesn't satisfy my thirst. The more money you have, the more you realize, okay, this can't satisfy me. It's needful, it's important. Some of these things are very good things, but it can't satisfy the thirsting in your soul, and it leaves you empty. Possessions, money. Another would be pleasure. The further you go down the road of pleasure, trying to satisfy your soul with pleasure, the more empty you get. I hate to quote Mick Jagger, but he is right. I can't get any satisfaction, but I try and I try and I try. And he's right, and he's honest, at least. It's honest, you can't. And so you try, and you're frustrated. Even good things like relationships. If you think, oh, this man or this woman, they're going to satisfy me when I marry them. That's not fair. Nobody can satisfy you. No person can fill that place in your soul that God can only fill. And then this person gets frustrated because now I'm angry at you because you're not making me happy. And then you leave that person, you go to another one, and that person can't make you happy. These things can't satisfy you, your thirst. Man-made religion, that's a one that definitely won't satisfy your thirst. But you can see why you'd chase after man-made religions. There's only one who can satisfy. And he says, come to me. He's basically saying, just like that verse, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The whole world is chasing after happiness, but God says, stop. Jesus says, stop chasing happiness. Stop chasing all these things and turn to me with all your heart. Come to me. And repent, humble yourself before God. Turn to him and then trust fully and only in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And at that moment, he comes into your life and you're forgiven. Now your life isn't, life verse, song isn't, I can't get any satisfaction. It's, hallelujah, I've found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood, I now am saved. And the burden and guilt of sin comes off of your soul. And you're cleansed. And you, having therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our souls are right. And we're eternally saved. And at that moment, when you trust in Christ, when you repent and you trust in Christ, the Spirit of God comes into your life. The Bible says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He comes in and he begins to change you from the inside out. But our passage goes past this. God, of course, he wants you. Jesus is saying here, come and receive. Quench your thirst. But by coming to the fountain of living water. But he doesn't want it to end there. This is the simple picture of a Christian. He says, you come and receive, and then what I want from that is I want to flow out of your life like rivers. That is simple Christianity. That's what's different than everything else, is that God himself wants to come into your life and satisfy your soul, but he wants to flow out of your soul and get everyone around you soaking wet. That's Christianity. So full of him that you're flowing out onto other people. And the fruits of his Spirit, the fruits of God's Spirit, are love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And really, if you look at what is everybody thirsting for, if you were just to really think about that for a while, I think about these things all the time, but if you were really to think of what are people wanting and craving after and thirsting after, it's love. If you boil it down to the final, the lowest common, love, joy, peace. That's really what they're chasing all these things for. And that's a fruit of God's Spirit. And so the beauty of Christianity is there's all these thirsting people out there thirsting after all these things, and God just says, I want you as my children to be so satisfied in me and then so flowing out to the world that these thirsty people go, that's what I need. And that's the problem, is when the church isn't right and the rivers aren't flowing, then people can actually be turned away from God by the church. Because we've grieved the Spirit and the rivers aren't flowing, and there's other things maybe flowing out of us, but it's not the fruits of the Spirit. And so that's what I want to talk about a little bit later in the message, is how you can have rivers of living water flowing out of your life and how you can quench those rivers. But before I do that, I just want to share a few things I've seen with my own eyeballs. Growing up, I've seen a lot of rivers in my life. And it really started with my grandmother. My grandpa was an alcoholic, but my grandma was a godly woman, and I didn't really know what, because we weren't told why grandma was the way she was. But she was an amazing woman. And often you hear that. Oh, my grandma's prayed for me, or my mom's prayed for me, or my dad. But my grandmother, our family, we lived in Calgary, and mom and dad were just normal people thirsting after the things of the world. And my dad, he'd become an alcoholic, and it caused a lot of problems in our family. But I still remember praying to God and saying, God, could you help our family? But there was a family that lived right next door to us. He was a lawyer, and him and his wife, they had rivers of living water. I did not know what it was, but I loved going to their house. There was peace in that home like you wouldn't believe. And the kindness, when you were really hurting, you could go to their house. I remember being so worried that my mom and dad were going to separate. But when you go to their house, there was this peace. And you, as a little boy, like grade 3, you don't understand these things, but you do know them. You know it's true. You go to this home and there's peace. And so these people, there was several Christians on our cul-de-sac in Calgary. And they invited mom and dad to a Bible study, and they said, whatever they have, we need. And that's why they went to that Bible study. It was their lives that spoke to them before the Word of God spoke to them. And they went and they were born again. And so they just decided, we're going to start over again. And so we went from those rivers. Like, I'm thinking of this. If every neighborhood had rivers of living water, even if there was one Christian on every neighborhood, and I'm pretty sure around here there's a lot of Christians. If every neighborhood had rivers of living water flowing out of them, there's families like mine all over the place that are just wrecked. But then we moved to Melfort, Saskatchewan. Dad started his own business, left the company he worked for, and we walked into a church. The 1970 revival had just happened, and there was communities in Saskatchewan totally changed. I think Red Deer had also, God touched here as well, but there was people, Christian people. And we walk into a church, I didn't know anything much about it, but all I know is you walked into that church and you were loved. And there was rivers flowing out of several, there was people later in my life when I was really down and low. And I think about some of those people and think, those people are so real. And so we walked into a church. We lived on a neighborhood. We got soaking wet from the rivers. We walked into a church and we got soaking wet from the rivers of living water. And then after we lived in that, we went to that church for quite a while. The guy that the revival began with in his church in Saskatoon, Bill McLeod, he was coming to our church and he was going to be speaking. And it was going to be all week long. And so he spoke all week long. And I remember thinking, when he preached, there was something of the power of God. And when he preached, I said no to God at that point in my life. It was such convicting preaching that you had to either say yes or no. That's when God's moving very powerfully, you got to say one or the other. And so I said no, but I've shared this about my dad and mom before here. But my mom and dad both met God so powerfully during those meetings. And there was two things, I'm just going to make it really brief, but my dad came home after that, and he said, "As that preacher preached tonight, I realized I'm the proudest person in the world." God showed him his pride, and he'd done some wrong things. And he apologized to me and my brothers and my mom. Like, I remember in those meetings, I'd never seen my dad ever cry in my life. But when the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, he just wept and went forward. And we went home that night. And he told us that I'm the proudest person in the world. But I'm going to follow God with all my heart. And that night, we got a brand new dad. He was completely changed. There was rivers of living water. He was not a real outgoing kind of like those kind of rivers you might think, but there was a peace in his life that I think saved my own life. And there was a humility that just ashamed me all the time. I was so selfish. And every time I was around him, the selflessness of his life, of Christ's life in him, we got to see Jesus. And it was like night and day. He was so different from those times. And so I was in a house where there was rivers of living water flowing out of. I lived on a neighborhood where there was rivers of living. I went to a church where there was rivers of living. And I lived in a house. It's hard to get away from God when you're in that kind of thing. But my mother, too, on the Wednesday night of those same meetings, I said, "My dad, it was pride. And I don't know if there's anything that grieves the Spirit of God more than pride. And the one that might grieve the Spirit more than pride would be bitterness." And Mom dealt with that night. She had a tough things when she was younger. And that night, God met her and she dealt with her bitterness towards her mother. And went back to Toronto and fixed things. And we got a brand new mom. That week was the best week for our family ever because we got a brand new mom and dad. And there was rivers flowing in our house. I didn't really like it. I was running away from God, but it was such a beautiful thing to see. And so I'd said no to God, and I'm not going to go through my test, but I moved away and I was trying to get away from God. But several years later when I was at the U of S, this same man, Bill McLeod, was speaking at our church in Melfort, and my dad was very concerned about my life. And he phoned me. I remember him phoning me in Saskatoon and saying, "Jeff, Pastor McLeod's going to be here." And I really respected him. You know, if I was looking for hypocrites in my life, but if you looked at that guy, there's not much you could say. He was so full of God. And Dad said, "Pastor McLeod's going to be in our church in Melfort, and I'd really like you to come, Jeff, for the weekend." And I did not want to go, but I really loved Dad, and I really did really appreciate Bill McLeod. So I said, "I'll come Friday, and I'll come to one of the meetings and see from there." So I went the Friday night, and again, what power. You couldn't go, you knew what you were stepping into. The power of God, and you came under such gripping conviction. And I said no again that night. But the thing was that Dad now was great friends with Bill McLeod because he'd had such a huge influence on his life. And so anytime he was anywhere near there, "Can you stay in our house?" And Dad loved him and supported him. I loved him too. But he was staying at our house, and so Dad knew this. So he said, "Jeff, this will be great. He'll come to our house." And so Pastor McLeod started telling stories on the couch. I can see it as though it was yesterday. He's sitting on the couch and telling stories, and they were stories about me. I couldn't believe it. It was like every one of the stories, and some of them he never should have known anything about this, but I couldn't contain myself. It was so powerful. And I was so convicted that I had to leave the room and go to the bathroom, and I just kept crying. I couldn't contain myself. I was in the bathroom, and finally I composed myself and went back out to the living room, and I made an excuse that night to my dad, and I said, I can't stay for the whole time. And I went back to Saskatoon, but again, there was rivers just flowing. And I remember at one moment when he was talking, wondering if he could read my mind. It was that real. Of course, I knew he couldn't read my mind. And later I told him, I said, but I'll explain that later. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. But it was so God. Like, you knew what you were rejecting. There was never ever a time since my dad got right with God that I ever believed there wasn't a God. You might be here today the same. You believe totally in God, but you won't give your life to him. That was my life. And so I tried running again. Me and my brother, we thought we'd move further away. And we bought a business here in Red Deer. And we tried to stay away. It was so neat how God allowed us to rent a house 3 doors down from the old Oreo Park Missionary Church. That was no coincidence. I think there was so many people wanted to rent that house. And I remember Todd and I both saying, why did they rent it to two young guys like us when there was all... But God made the lady rent it to us because we were supposed to live there. And after several months, we finally thought, well, we should go to church. And so we went to the church at Oreo Park and tried to stay away from people. You know how, you know when you go to the lake or to a pool or something like that and you're wearing nice clothes and you're just telling everybody, please, I don't want to get wet. I'm here, I don't want to get wet. You should never say that, because as soon as you say that, you're going to get soaked. And that's what I was saying, I don't want to get wet. But everywhere I went, there was rivers and you're trying to run away from Christians. And it's so beautiful when you can't. That's when God's moving. So we go to this Oreo Park Missionary Church, and we'd get there late, really late, and leave really early, but they caught us. They just started loving you, and there was these people in that church that were just rivers of living water flowing out of their lives. And they introduced us to my brother and I's, one of our best friends is Dale Callahan, who had just come out of the drug debt collecting and bouncing at the bottom. He was just a violent young man, and he got saved. And so it sort of, Todd and I talked about this, it was like the Apostle Paul moved into our house. Like he became such good friends because they were both bodybuilders, Todd and Dale. And then he just said, why don't I live with you guys? And so he did, and rivers were just flowing. Like this guy, the peace, he couldn't even say the name Jesus and tears would just come down his face. And you hear all these stories of the violence and all these things. And then you meet the guy and you know the guy, like you're right with him all the time. And there's just rivers of peace and of joy. And for a guy that didn't even know what peace or joy meant, that's what I needed. And God just poured the rivers on me. And I finally gave in to God and gave my life to him. And I remember that day because I was reading in the book, in the Bible. My dad was asking me to read through the Bible, and I was reading through it. And it said, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, and peace. And I could not deny it. I knew that verse was true. All these Christians who you thought their life is quite boring, really. And they're just full of joy and peace. And so I just said, God, here's my life. And at that moment, I was that guy I'm going back to the beginning. If anybody's thirsty, come to me. I tried everything else. And then you come to Christ. And I remember that day like it was yesterday too. It was like a waterfall of joy and peace just into my soul. The guilt of all my sin was gone. I couldn't contain, again, like in that, the tears, you could hardly, but these were tears of joy. Before I got saved, I had to hide the sorrow in my heart all the time. And when Christ came into my life, I had to hide the joy at times where you just have to almost contain yourself. Because he says, and I know that's not the way it is for everybody, but that's what I needed in my life. And so this waterfall of joy and peace when I got saved, it was what I needed. And at that time, we all of us said, whatever you want us to do, God, we're going to do it. And God called me to be a pastor, which was quite a joke to just about everybody I knew, because that was about the last thing. But he calls you to be a pastor, and then he showed me very clearly, and we need to pray, God, lead me. He never spoke out loud to me, but it was as though he spoke out loud to me that I was to be a pastor, and I was to train under Bill McLeod. And so I knew that's what I'm supposed to do. And so then I moved back to Melford, and you want to talk about rivers of living water flowing out of your life, and you want to talk about a guy that married up, it'd be me. Because I met Jan, and there was rivers of living water flowing out of her life. And somehow God blinded her, and she married me, and she said that I'll go wherever God's leading us, we're going. And we went to Winnipeg, Manitoba, where Bill McLeod was. And I'll tell you, it was such a joy to train under him. I've been thinking about him a lot lately, and I remember just, he got me to go with him on some of these trips. And every time he'd ever spoke before, I was under so much conviction, but now I wanted it all. Like, whatever is going on, I'm good. And so he'd preach, and I was supposed to help him in the prayer room. And every single time I'd come under so much conviction that I'd be at the front, I'd be the first one into the prayer room, and I'm saying, I'm so sorry, I'm supposed to be helping you in the prayer room, but it was just the rivers of living water that flowed out of his life. The peace, the joy, and the closer you get to somebody like this, the wetter you get, the more you realize this is so real. There's some people, the closer you get to them, the more you realize, oh, this isn't quite the, but him, it was, wow, God, this is amazing. And I'd read this verse and I'd say, I know exactly what that means, because not just all these other people, but Bill McLeod, there was rivers flowing out of his life. And I said to him, I said, Pastor McLeod, I told him about that day that he was in our living room. And I said, I thought you could possibly read my mind that day. And he was like, what am I working with here? But he said, no, I couldn't read your mind. But he made a statement that just changed my life. He said, of course I couldn't read your mind. But he said, there was someone inside of me that could. And he said, every day I wake up in the morning, I ask God to give me Bible verses, stories, or illustrate, whatever, that what every person I meet, that I could say something to them that would draw them closer to you. I said, well, that certainly was what happened that day. And I'd seen him do it, like, where we'd go on trips and we'd be in the plane, and within 15 minutes, the person sitting beside him just crying away and they'd given their life to Christ. And I said to him, I said, Pastor McLeod, I want what you have. I see these rivers of living water flowing out of your life. How do you do this? And this probably changed my life next after the salvation. Teaching, and I'm just going to take a few minutes to talk about this. But this will change your life. And this was the first thing he said. And every single person that I know that has rivers of living water flowing out of their life, they have a quiet time. Usually every morning. Some people are night people. I am definitely not a night person. But I have a little quiet time in the night. But the big one is the morning, is meeting with God in the morning. And you have to wake up early to do that. Pastor McLeod would wake up. He'd spend 4 hours. He'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And by the time he came out of that place at 8 o'clock, he was glowing. I was with him all the time. But he said, you need a quiet time. And he said, there's two things in the Bible that the Bible says you're supposed to be full of. First, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You need to be filled with the word of God, Jeff. And that's your job. You need to get up early and read through the Bible. Not just the places you like, the Bible. Especially, you read through the Old Testament very, very regularly. But the New Testament, he said, you need to be just in that constantly too. And so he said, let the word of Christ, and then he says, be filled, be not drunk with wine where it's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So he says, those are two things that God asked you to be full of. And I said, that about being filled with the Spirit, how do you be filled with the Spirit? And so he shared Bible verses with me. And the first one he shared was the one out of Colossians that says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And he said, remember when you told the story about how those waterfalls came on? He said, how did you receive Jesus that day? I said, I totally abandoned my life. Everything, I gave it to him. And then I trusted in Jesus to save me because I couldn't save myself. He said, exactly. That's how God wants you to walk every single day, every moment. Absolutely abandoned to God. And he said, that's what you do in your quiet time. You get alone with God and you just give him everything every morning. And there'll be some times where you'll have to, he'll show you things in your life. But he said, this is how we walk in the Lord, is totally abandoned. Just like that kernel of wheat. I love the farming ones, but the kernel of wheat falling into the ground and dying. But if it dies, I mean, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And so every morning, you die to yourself and abandon your life to God and trust in him to fill you with his Spirit. That's what he told me. And I thought, that is exactly it. He said, believe God. Abandon yourself and then believe him that he'll fill you. And then he gave me this book, which made an illustration of this point. It was called The Calvary Road. I would recommend everyone to read it. It's on personal revival. But this in this book, it talked about this mother in a kitchen, and he said, if she wants to put the water on the table in the glass pitcher, and there's gravy in it. She doesn't just go to the sink and turn on the water and put it on with the gravy floating around. She said, no, he said she dumps the gravy out, cleans it squeaky clean, and then puts the water in. And he said, it's like that with God. Is our hearts are likened to a cup in the Bible. And he said, we need to bring that cup before God every day. And it's like your soul or your heart. And we hold it up before God in absolute abandonment. Here's my heart. Like the hymn, take my heart, now take and seal it. I give you my life, God. And as we hold up our cups before God, he looks into them. And if there's anything dirty in there, he points it out to us. And if we'll confess it to him and hold it before him, he cleanses it. And when he finds it fully clean, then he can come and he can pour his spirit into your life. And he doesn't just want to pour it so it's at the top. He wants to pour it so that it's just flowing over the sides. This one pastor gave this illustration where he put this cup over his kids, and he said, with tears coming down his face, he said, this is what I want for my life. And he started pouring water into the cup, and it began to, you go, uh-oh, it's going to, and then it spilled over, and it got his kids soaking wet. He said, that's what I want my life to look like, that I'd be so full of God that I'll get my family soaking wet. And I remember saying to God, God, I want this. Pastor McLeod would share about how Dwight L. Moody would ask God to fill him with his spirit so often that people asked him, why do you keep asking God to fill you with his spirit? He said, I'm just so leaky. And I said, I am about as leaky as you get. So he said, stay under the fountain. Just stay there, constantly asking God, would you show me anything in my life? And if you want to see answered prayer, just say, God, is there anything in my life that's not right? Every morning, that's what a lot of my quiet time is. It's not telling God what to do. It's, God, could you change my heart? Could you change my life? And as I come to that place where I come to worship God, where I can say, when I leave that quiet place, I surrender everything to you, God. And I walk into the light. And if there's any sin in my life, I want you to show me. And don't go witch hunting. If you ask God to show you, he'll show you in the right time. Sometimes we can't take everything that he's going to show you. Like he shows you one thing, and what you do with that, that's then you grow. He'll show you the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. It's like that parable in the Bible where that guy comes to the door and he starts banging on the door, and that's what he's talking about, being filled with the Spirit. He said, I will not stop banging until you bless me, until you give me the bread. And that's how we come to God with his Spirit. Lord, whatever it costs me, whatever it takes, I want my life to be empty so that you can fill it with your Holy Spirit. Because that's really what you're asking, is God to empty you so he can fill you. And if you're here today and you're saying, I need this in my life. The beginning of being filled with his Spirit, I believe, the beginning of every spiritual blessing is honesty. If you really think about that, it's true. The beginning of every spiritual blessing is honesty. And if you're here today and see what we often do is we don't have rivers of living water flowing. So that's why Jesus said it's so dangerous to be like the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees, is we start to fake it and hide it. And we usually get very proud. And that turns people away from God. The Bible says that hypocrisy will take away the thirst of people. In Isaiah 32, if you want to read that. So as Christians, we could be going through life and turning people away from God by being dishonest in our business or by our bad attitudes or by whatever. There's also other fruits that come out of our life when we're not right with God. And everyone that looks at our lives says, I don't know, God sounds great, but that's not right. And we do not want to be that person. And so if we are being that person, the beginning of getting it right is being honest and saying, you know, there is not rivers of living water flowing out of my life. And if you're here today and you're saying there isn't, it's true, there isn't, then I would so encourage you that you'd start today or tomorrow morning in your quiet time, or what I'm sure today would be good if you go home and you just really say to God, God, I'm not filled with rivers of living water, but I'm going to hold my cup up before you and I want you to just show me. And if every time he shows you something, you say, yes, Lord, whatever it costs me. I remember one Christian saying to another, I'd give everything I have to have your walk with the Lord. He said, well, that's what it costs me. But I'll tell you, the world is in trouble, and it's not politics' fault. There's nothing more powerful than the church. The church is the most powerful organism on earth. And when they're filled and there's rivers of God flowing out of his church, each individual person, this town would be flooded. And so it's not a God problem. It's not a politic problem. It's not a, it's a, the church. And if there's people in this room who are just saying, no matter what it costs me, I want rivers of living water to flow out of my life and soak everyone around me. And everything he shows you, you just say, yes, Lord. You walk with that soft, humble heart. I remember people have said, I asked God to fill me with his spirit, and he said no. I said, that's partially right. You asked God to fill you with his spirit, and you said no. Because there was something that he showed you needed to get right, and you said no, and you grieved the spirit of God. Only those who are willing to go all the way. Like the one person said, it'll cost you everything to have rivers of living water flowing out of you. But if we don't have rivers of living water flowing out of us, it'll cost us way more. And we're already seeing that in Canada. It is costing us. That the church does not have power, it is costing us. And so if you're here today and you're saying, I'm going to go all the way with God, then you can pray this morning and just, or I guess it's almost after, it is after. No, it's not. Sorry. Good. But you can pray and just say, God, I want to go through this process with you of emptying me and filling me. And just step into the light and believe him that he's going to do it. And get with other people too. I really think this is important. Get with other people that are, on my Monday mornings, Monday nights here with the guys in your church, every time, sometimes I go there dry and you just know there's going to be somebody pouring rivers on me. It's good to be meeting in church. You need to be in church, and you hear the word. You come and you have your Christian brothers and sisters. You have that accountability. And you need a smaller group too where you can say, I want to tell you where I'm battling here because I so badly want to be right with God that I want to share with you something I need prayer for. Or you can pray together, like with a group of people. I usually feel like men with men, ladies with ladies, because there's stuff you got to share sometimes. But get in, put yourself in a place where God can really touch your life. And just finally, restitution. I think there's a lot of people that get so far, and then they have to make restitution. And they just say, no, that's too... I remember that too. There was about three or four things I had to get right when I was with Pastor McLeod, and two of them I thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this. It was so embarrassing, so bad. But I finally just, okay, God. And it worked, and it was unbelievable. All the places I went to make restitution, I ended up sharing the gospel with that person because they saw the difference. But that wasn't the best part. After the last restitution that I made, I was pretty sure I could have floated out of that place. To get that guilt and that nobody now can point at you, and especially that God says you've made that right. If you've harmed somebody or taken or whatever you need to do, God will show you. As you begin to pray, search me, O God, you can be assured he'll show you. But I would just encourage you that even if he asks you to go and say sorry or make something right, do it. It's not worth to hang on to some, or there's maybe a hidden sin in your life that you're holding on to. It's not worth it to hang on to it. Or bitterness. I will not forgive that person. They really hurt me. Bitterness is so costly because it troubles you and then it's everybody around you is defiled. There was a little book we read as our kids, each one of them, it was Uncle Arthur, they're going through the Bible, and the one little story was about Esau. And the caption on the top was, so much for so little. And as he began to tell the story, it's like, oh boy. At first you're going, man, Esau, what were you thinking? You gave up your birthright for a bowl of soup? What's wrong with you? And then the way the guys told the story, it was sort of like he set you up. You're thinking, what a dumb guy that Esau was. And then it's you. You want to hang on to that little sin and it keeps you from walking in the fullness of God? You want to hold on to that bitterness? That little, bitterness can be huge. but it's keeping you from a walk with God. Whatever it is in your life that's you're maybe hanging on, an idol that you might have, it's not worth it. And don't give up so much for that one thing you're trying to hang on to. So I would just challenge you, and I'll pray for us, that if you're here today and you're honest and you're saying, no, there's no rivers flowing out of my life, I might actually be turning people away from God rather than to God. If you'll come to God and say, God, no matter what it costs me, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want the rivers to flow. He'll begin to work in your life, and you'll begin to see the power of God and the work of God in your own life. I see people in this room, there's rivers flowing out. But it's costly. And then just believe him. Say, God, I trust you. Whatever you show me, I'll deal with. And then I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And if every Christian, that's really revival. Next time when I come, we're talking today about rivers flowing out of Christians. That's part of revival. Usually that's when we're in the place where we can pray, when we have lives that are just empty and filled with God. But there's other rivers that God wants to send as well, and that's from him. And we'll talk about that next time. But when God starts to pour rivers on a community, that's when things just change so much. But it begins with us. And so I would really challenge you and encourage you to, in your quiet times now, just start that process of saying, Lord, here's my heart. Is there anything in it that you need to cleanse? Is there anything in it? Is there anything part of my heart that I'm not giving to you that I need to give to you? And he'll be so faithful to do that for you. And then just believe him to fill you with his Spirit. I'll just pray for us. Lord, I just thank you for this passage. It's amazing. First of all, the invitation, come to me. If there's anyone here in this room who needs to come to you for that fountain of living water, for salvation, I pray, Lord, you just draw them here today. But Lord, I just want to ask you to forgive me, for so often my Christian life has not had rivers of living water flowing out of it. But I do pray for me and for each one here. Lord, like you said, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've hewn themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. We leave your fountain and we go over and we hold on to this yucky, stale old water from our Christian past, our life, and we just don't grow. I pray that this morning every single one of us would come back to that fountain. Lord, that we would just abandon ourselves to you, and Lord, that you would take our lives and that you'd fill us with your Spirit so full that those rivers would flow out of us, the rivers of love and joy and peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Those rivers would flow and get everyone around us wet. So Lord, we pray that you'd make these verses real to us. And we do pray for our city. We pray for this whole area, that you'd touch all your children. And you'd just have clean channels to flow out of. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before I sit down, I may have shared this before, but it was a vision that I got, and this is the picture that I'd really like to see for our city. Was when I was praying for revival one time, I got this vision. It was so real. And it was this dam, and there was on the other side of the dam was this huge, huge kind of body of water. But on this side of the dam was a little riverbed, and there was people that lived along it. And the people, that it was dried up, the river was completely dried up, and everybody was dying along the river. And you're just sitting going, what? There's all this water here, and these people are dying just because of this dam. But then as I watched the picture in my eyes, there was pipes in the dam that were supposed to let the water through, but they'd gotten all gunk in them. But while I was sitting there seeing this picture, all of a sudden one of the pipes, it just went, poof, and water started flowing out of it. A stream of water flowed out of that hole. And then another one, poof, poof, and more and more, until there was a pretty good river going again. And it was such a picture of God's love, God's power. There's no end to that. But for some reason, God's chosen us to be the channels of his blessing, the channels of his Spirit. And so that's really a picture of revival, that the more Christians that begin to say, okay, no matter what, I want the gunk out of my pipe. And that's why we sing that hymn, Channels of Blessing. That God, would you make me one of those channels so that your great power of your spirit and your love can flow to the rest of this world. And that's when the people then, they're not dying of thirst anymore. They come to Christ. Thanks.
Thanks, Sarah. And thanks, Jeff, for coming and sharing and being obedient to what God's laid on your heart. Sorry, I was just very moved today by the Spirit. For a benediction, I just wanted to read from number 6, where the Lord said to Moses to tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So go in peace. I didn't ask Jeff, but if you're available, if somebody would like prayer this morning, please come up and we'd be happy to pray with you, Jeff or Joel or myself. But enjoy the day and greet one another as you go out if you missed that earlier.